You're listening to Morning Edition on WMUK. I'm Gordon Evans. An NPR host and author says she is optimistic about the future of information and our access to it. But on the media host, Brooke Gladstone says there are risks, including the potential for the rapid spread of misinformation. And she says the economic model, which has relied on advertising for the media, is collapsing.
We're in a state of transition right now where we aren't entirely used to buying material information online. But then again, when I was very young, nobody paid for television. And certainly nobody paid for water.
Brooke Gladstone is also the author of the comic book, The Influencing Machine, Brooke Gladstone on the Media. She will speak in Kalamazoo tomorrow.
You know, there was a time, in fact, through most of our history, after the creation of the printing press, that things got more and more expensive and required greater and greater audiences in order to support it, like in television, which was the most expensive medium that man has ever known. And now the trend is reversed and it's become cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. Therefore, those enormous audiences are no longer necessary, and you can appeal to smaller and smaller groups. So once the media were fragmented, and they're becoming fragmented again.
And does that idea of it becoming cheaper also allow for greater participation? In other words, people to perhaps take up journalism as a hobby?
That is the real serious difference, is that once it was a one-to-many kind of operation, and now it's a one-to-one or a many-to-one. That whole relationship has changed, and there's no time lag between what somebody writes and produces and what somebody reads and responds to. And there's a journalism teacher who teaches at NYU who likes to call the news consumer the people formerly known as the audience, because the audience, so to speak, doesn't exist the way that it used to.
Because
of that participation, yes.
Yeah, they're participating more, so it's a back and forth, if you will.
Exactly. It really is, and I hate to use this word because it's become such a cliche, but it genuinely is a conversation.
Can you explain for people who have not heard this, what is the Goldilocks number?
The Goldilocks number. It's so funny that people, I took that out of something that we had actually done. It was on the show. It was the recurrence of the number 50,000.
The figure might be used for the number of deaths related to trans fats or secondhand smoke. FBI veteran Ken Lanning explained it this way on the program.
It was like a Goldilocks number, not too hot, not too cold.
It turned out that this was a number that was thrown at an FBI guy who said that, you know, it sounded reasonable. It could be, maybe. And it was used on an NBC News program and then was later picked up by the Justice Department. And it was mentioned in hearings and it bounced back and forth until it took on the solidity of fact. But when we looked at it, we found that there was absolutely no basis for that number at all. But the number 50,000 appeared everywhere,
including the number of people who were sacrificed by satanic cults, again explained by FBI agent Ken Lanning.
Once again, the same number popped up, 50,000 a year.
Sacrificed?
Yes, that's what they were alleging.
The number of homicides is a number that the FBI actually track. And, you know, in those particular years, there weren't anywhere near 50,000 homicides in the country. I mean, it was a violent year, and I think there were maybe 25,000 in the country. So the number of ritual satanic murders being bruited about was actually twice as many as all the homicides committed in the country combined. When you see 50,000, your red flag should go up.
How does that happen, especially with reputable news organizations, that this ends up getting into their publications or broadcast over the airwaves, that something like that does not get some more scrutiny and doesn't get checked out?
The problem is that there is a touching assumption that someone else has done the checking, that if the Justice Department uses the word, then they must have done some research. Not that they picked it up from NBC, who they probably believed had done the research, and on and on and on. That when it enters the media echo chamber, it takes on a life of its own, and you really do have to stop and spend a whole week or more, like we did, tracking that number back to its source and talking to the individuals who first said it. I suppose one could do this on any number of numbers, but I guess since a number is really a symbol that's meant to represent a problem, people don't go all the way back unless the absolute specifics of the number become important in their own right.
Brooke Gladstone is the co-host of the NPR program On the Media. She is also the author of The Influencing Machine, Brooke Gladstone on the Media. Gladstone will speak tomorrow night at Western Michigan University's Knaus Hall, beginning at 7 o'clock. Links with more information can be found at WMUK.org. For WMUK, I'm Gordon Evans.